Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I am proud to bring you the Age of Heroes with the Elysium Project and Astrid. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. Doing well, you know, bearing under this heat, but we could think about the cold weather coming in winter and the snow we'll have to shovel. And
yes,
back when we do get to that point in winter, we could think of these days when we were sweltering. It's all a balance in life.
Yeah, yes, it most definitely is. You make an excellent point. We tend to think the grass is greener someplace else or another point in time. And it's actually us that determines how green the grass is where we're standing.
So you've got that right. And I have to say, we are so blessed in New Jersey to have four seasons. Because
yes,
it's only when that you are removed from that situation that you miss it. And my son's in Colorado when he said he really misses autumn. I mean, he has a wonderful, actually magnificent winter because he loves to snowboard and he does the extreme boarding. But the summers have been tough there. And unfortunately, as we know, they're suffering. Jesse said that yesterday was the worst day ever in Denver's history with the smog because of what's happening in California. Matter of fact, we'll go into that and how it's affecting all over, even Canada, with some of the news in our main segment. So there is no perfect anything. And given the situations now, even more so, that we have to be grateful for what we do have rather than what we don't have.
Very, very true. And I spent part of each of my days doing that, just thinking about 5 to 10 things that I'm grateful for. And I've never been at a point where I had to think about what I'm grateful for. There's so many
Right. Truth. And we are starting to have some normalcy return. I will just mention a few things. I've been in the habit, since activities have been happening again in Sussex County, of just sending you, you know, emails with everything that's happening. But I will mention a few things tonight before we get going on the main segment. And in that, we'll start off with the New Jersey State Fair and the Sussex County Farm and Horse Show. It has returned this year. It is from the 8th until the 14th, so you have till Sunday. And this is something that's, you know, been, I think, every year ever, always, except for last year. And they decided to go ahead with it this year. I mean, they get enormous crowds, and it is mostly outdoors. And people have to determine, you know, how they're going to deal with it. I'm sure some have made their decisions whether they're going or not. Some have decided to mask up. Some have decided not to. You know, people have to live with their decisions. It is also from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so people know. It's on 37 Plains Road, Augusta, right off 206 as you're going up to Pensy. And you can get more info, find out the prices, because there are different prices for each day. There are different prices for children, for seniors. There's a seniors' day. And you can call them at 973-948-5500. Or go to the website newjerseystatefair.org. So, and there's always a lot of activities there. I was totally unaware that the horse show is a major horse show. People come from all over the country. You know, I just thought it was basically New Jersey. I'm not really familiar, you know, with horses and you know, how they show them and. But it's a real big one, so that's why they emphasize that it's not just a state fair, it's a farm and horse show. And they have carnival rides, live music, entertainment, animal showcases, exhibits, food, demolition derby, oxpole, a whole bunch of things. They have an agricultural museum, craft tent. And I have to say, I always found out a lot that was going on in the county by going to one of their main buildings. They would have resources there for everything you could imagine, everything. You know, all the different organizations that are nonprofit are represented there, and you can get pamphlets in detail about their programs. and locations, and just talk to the people that are representing these nonprofits. Also, you know, people from Social Security, people from, you know, the Sheriff's Department, the Environmental Center. It's amazing. It's a wealth of information. It's not just a show. It's also laying out all that cultural information that you don't have to search. You just go there through that one main building, and it's there.
Wow. And they still have things there? Because I know I was at a meeting the other day, and in a nearby borough, and one of the people in the meeting remarked that once upon a time you would go to certain buildings in town, and they had tons and tons and tons of information. And when he went, most recently, there was very little, and he was told that everything's online now. And he pointed out that...
You know, I'm not going to the fair myself this year because of the crowds. It was my decision to, you know, as, you know, the variants are rising. And it's a matter of fact with any virus.
Right.
I just made the decision not to go because usually I go, I get all the info, and I would pass it on to you or to other organizations or people in our lake community. So I'm not too sure what the story is going to be there, you know, in terms of passing it out or if they're just going to have extreme safety measures or tell you the sites and how to get onto it. Good question. So everything's up in the air, but the fair is happening. What is not happening at the fairgrounds at the end of this month is the Crawfish Festival, which is a big thing. People come from all over, but the person that puts this whole Crawfish Festival together decided not to because he said it was like 200 musicians and food vendors from Louisiana. And he said majority of them were unvaccinated and he didn't want to be responsible for any one of them getting it or, you know, or for them passing it on to anyone else. So that was, he decided to err on the side of caution, figure it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, right. And here's an interesting one, Project Self-Sufficiency, who always does an amazing amount of things for people. I mean, in every aspect you could think of. They are having a free back-to-school fair, which prepares the families for the new school year. And usually, Sussex County, basically, majority of it, was in-person learning. It wasn't virtual except for like a little spot here and there when, you know, the virus was on the rise. So the numbers went up, so then it was shut down for 2 weeks, but they basically were on site. So this says that the fair is open to active participants and people that are striving towards economic self-sufficiency and family stability. It sounds really interesting, because it's talking about relying on local businesses and individuals for donations, and they're going to have school supplies, crayons, glue sticks, loose leaf paper, erasers, scissors, pens, pencils, spiral notebooks, and backpacks. So there they are giving the products out. And they will also have local services and agencies involved to offer tips for a healthy and safe school year. And I'm not kidding you. The list is so long I can't even read it. It's that long. And then also, local hair salon stylists are volunteering their time to give children free haircuts so they'll look good on their first day of school. And these salons are Becky's Hair Therapy, Chalet, George Michael, Hair Gallery, His and Hair, a little play on words, Salon Blue, Salon de Panache, Salon Fig, Salon Serendipity, Salon Unique, Scissor Joint, Total Image, and Village Maine. Wow. So there's a lot going on there, and if people are not a member of and don't have a case manager for self-sufficiency and they really need help to survive, particularly now, I suggest they get in touch with them or go online or call them at 973-940-3500. It's a really great organization. Everybody needs every little bit of help they can get. And I have to say, Sussex County seems to have an awful lot of support systems set in place.
And that is a good thing. There's a lot of places with not enough support. It's great to know that here in New Jersey, we have all these resources available throughout the state.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And Peter's Valley is having their craft beer this year. They always have quite a few buildings open at the fairgrounds again. But when I looked online, and it's the 25th and the 26th of September, 10 to 5, it says the conservatory, and that's just one separate building. So I'm not too sure how extensive this is going to be. Maybe some vendors are not coming, you know, or maybe they want to keep it small so that there's a lot of movement. I would suggest getting online and looking at that. And they also are having exhibits, I think 150-plus artists from all over the county and then the country, actually, exhibiting not only at the fair but at their own spot there. They have a craft center in Layton, petersvalley.org, and you could find out more about that. They have an exhibit gallery right now that's running through August 17th as well. So, you know, it's nice to see the arts coming back again. I do know quite a few of the different areas around here have gotten their bands back together. Carriage House on Route 206. I think that's Frankfurt, but it's right up 206, right on Culver Lake. They have bands there on Sunday. There's the Mountain House. They're doing music. So music's coming alive again, and they're outdoors. So, you know, they could always call these people and find out what's going on. I know Lafayette House always had music. That I would go online to find out if they're doing it outside, because I know they also have the farmers market there as well. So that's something to look into.
Wow. And I'm sure there's a lot more.
Right. And then the other thing is, I am not too sure how many of our listeners know about Luna Park. Ricky Bascarino is a man to himself. That's all I can say. He is such an amazing artist. He does so much. It started off, basically, he had this home on the Grote Place in Sandyston. Unbelievable. And little by little, he would add to the house. He made it into a living sculpture. That's all I can say. And people go on tours. He does art exhibits everywhere, all over the world. He's very well known. And if you get a chance, just get online and look at Luna Park. It's L-U-N-A, like the moon, Luna, and Park being P-A-R-C. Interesting. He opens up his house in the grounds, because the grounds are amazing. He has all sculptures. He has little workstations and you know, all over the property. He has people come and do workshops there in the summer. He is mind-blowing. Anyway, he has two-day appointments to visit, and it's by appointment only. So it's August 12th, which is a Thursday, and then it's the 14th, which I'm assuming is a Saturday, right? And these days are strictly by reservation. They will not accept walk-ins. You can email him, ricky@lunapark.com, to set up a time, or call 973-948-2160. I did send you the pages for the website, so you will be getting it.
Awesome.
Also, in September, he has a fundraiser, yard sale. This is a trip. He runs a foundation. It's a nonprofit for students and for young artists. It's amazing. And they're requesting items to be donated. It could be antiques, collectibles, housewares. You can email him to find out what he possibly needs. And he also uses things for his sculptures and the grounds, you know, bowling balls. You wouldn't believe the things he uses, all kinds of things. And so if you want to go to that fundraiser, you can do that. That is in September, I think the 11th and 12th. It's a yard sale. So that's another thing. But Ricky is all over the place. That's all I can say. He's an amazing person.
You've brought so many amazing people on your show, and you've introduced us to so many amazing people through your podcast. So, and I know whatever.
I think we should have Ricky on one day, because he's just unbelievable.
Yeah, invite him on.
I will. And then we have to pay a tribute, because Sussex County had in Newton, the Sussex County Co-op. It's closing after 42 years. This place was beyond belief. It was, you know, all the health foods when there were no shops way back when. It's a throwback to the 80s atmosphere. It was on Moran Street in Newton. Everything's on a clearance, and it's expected to close within the month. So I would say probably the end of August, you can give them a call. But people could become a member and get things discounted. It started in Sandyston, and then it moved to a strip mall in Andover. Then it moved to Newton on Spring Street, then to Moran Street, about 1998. I would always see this little shop, and it was always interesting. They'd have all kinds of health food items.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have, like, natural granola and all these different vegetables and fruits. And I mean, basically, they even did things when a company reached out to supply co-op with its own raw milk cheese. So it was just amazing the things that they did, bulk oatmeal, spices. At a time when there were no health food stores, at a time when supermarkets did not carry healthy items, whereas now you can go into Weiss, ShopRite, you know, so many places and obtain them. I personally go to Green Life Market, which is amazing. And on Newton Sparta Road, and you could become a member for like $98 for your whole life and go there and get discount. And by the way, Green Life Market, if you are unaware, has the most amazing nursery, plant nursery attached to it. I have never seen such amazing plants anywhere like there. So I've gone back over and over and replenished what I had gotten from other places. With a 20% discount, if you're a member, it really brings the price down. I mean, unbelievable. And then in winter, obviously, they have the most amazing roping and trees. And this year, I'm going to make sure I sign up and get it quickly, because last year I had to resort to getting it at one of the hardware companies, which will remain unnamed for reasons that I don't want to do bad publicity, but I bought roping and it lasted maybe 2 weeks and died and dried out. Always different when you're dealing with a small local concern.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind too. There we go. We have all these great things. Now, how do we cover so many things? I figured, let's make it easy, Hercules. Let's just say, yes, no, maybe so, because that's how it's been for quite a few years. We can't just blame it on COVID. We can go way back, you know, to the other election, you know, the fake news, what's real, what isn't. The people are in a quandary of what to do and what to believe. So the first thing is, let's just talk about COVID. Instead of getting wired about it, the best thing to do is look at as much information as possible and remember what a virus is. It's not a bacteria. It's that simple. You know, a virus, there is no pill you can take. The only way you can avoid a virus in depth, and there are no guarantees to that. I mean, and any virus, you'll read, they'll say, well, we give you a vaccine, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get it. It just means you probably won't get the worst case of it, and hopefully you won't be hospitalized, but there are no guarantees because we're all different.
Right.
And the viruses are different. And a perfect example of that is that you look at the pneumonia vaccine. There were two of them. They don't say everybody has to get a pneumonia vaccine, but if you are a young child and if you're over 65, you go to your doctor, they're going to say, get the vaccine. And really, it's up to your doctor to suggest getting it, but it's mm-hmm. more up to you to make the decision. I personally do not take a flu vaccine or a pneumonia vaccine. And I taught in a school, a public school, which was an urban school, for very many years, art teacher, every student. So I was really exposed to quite a bit of things. And I didn't feel the need to get the pneumonia vaccine. The flu vaccine, and people say it can't happen. Twice I got it in my early years when I started teaching, and twice I got a case of the flu. So
yes,
I figured two times, no, don't try for a third. But just looking at the pneumonia vaccine, there's two different vaccines. That's if it's, you know, you have the viral pneumonia and you have bacterial pneumonia. So how do you know which one it is? They have to do a culture. And that's the state of pneumonia. That's not anything else. Colds, how many different varieties of colds? Would they say it's like over 1,000? It is going to be the same. And if we think otherwise, we're fooling ourselves. Spooling ourselves, because a virus is a virus. It will go through major changes. Even bacteria go through changes where they have to come along and get a stronger antibiotic because they're not working anymore. You know, the bacteria just mutates and gets stronger.
Right.
Because it wants to live, let's put it that way. It's a living organism when it's a bacteria. So you have to make your own decision. What are you going to do? Who do you believe? Rules change constantly. Do and don'ts if you've got it. Do's and don'ts if you didn't. You have to use common sense in terms of what's your own personal situation. I can't say to someone, you must get it, and I can't say, don't get it. It's a personal decision in the sense that you look at the facts. Right now, the South, the states that are really having a problem are the ones where there is only one-third vaccinated. And children are filling the hospitals. But the very young children are not on the list to be vaccinated yet. So the best way to protect your children is to think of where you're placing them. And what do you have, good hygiene. Where are you bringing them? What are you doing? Are they masking? Should they mask? Very personal. Sanitizers, you're going to use sanitizers. I still use the mask in areas where it's very populated. Outdoors and in, if I'm with a large group of people, I still use the sanitizers. Why? Because as a teacher in school, you would get everything because kids come to school sick. Parents, a lot of parents had no choice. They had no choice. They wouldn't have a job. And you'd put them down to the nurse and then someone would get them. But meanwhile, you know, you're exposed to a lot. I found by using sanitizers back then, I'm talking going back quite a while, and building up my immunity, you know, using the frankincense oil, using thieves if I felt like I was going to get sick, I would protect myself, taking my vitamins. This is nothing new. We've had outbreaks. Have we ever had anything this severe? No. You know, we were lucky, but go back a couple generations. Go back to those that got polio. Go back to the women that were given medications when they were pregnant, and let's not even go there. So it's a matter of doing your research, looking at your own situation and where you can, you know, reduce the risks and your own risk, your kids, who are you exposing your kids to? Do they have to be in school? Will there be virtual? Who knows? Everything is up in the air. So that's why it's very important for people to start doing research on the places they plan to go if they're traveling. Think about the places you go in terms of shopping. And, I mean, if you need to put the latex gloves on, and if a place really looks like it's bad news and you have to go there, fine. And you have other options. You can go to some very small shops as well, small concerns. So personal choice. That's all I can say, right? Wouldn't you agree?
That's a good point, because we don't know what information we can trust.
Right.
I also did not get flu shots and pneumonia shots, and I've had pneumonia and I've had the flu, and it happened with me with the flu shot too. I had it once and I got really sick afterwards. So after that, it's like, well, yeah, I don't think I need that. But I did get the shot for the COVID because it's a pandemic, and I'm not a doctor, but
right.
It's whose information do you trust? So I went with the World Health Organization and what our CDC was saying. And
right.
Although under some circumstances in the past, I wouldn't have totally trusted what was being said. This is an situation and so many people are dying that it's like you have to believe something. So I chose to believe science and medicine to the best of my understanding.
Right. And of course, I mean, I understand some people saying, you know, well, I don't know what side effects are. Well, one person may not get any. 10 years, 20 years down the road, who knows? But at the same time, do you want to take a risk? I have a friend who came from Taiwan. It was from a wealthy family, and she had a nursemaid, and she had her first polio shot. The nurse did not bring her for the second one, her nursemaid, and she contracted polio. Her life has been totally, totally different than it would have been, particularly since, you know, Taiwan, China, they look down on disabilities. They do not do anything for people that have disabilities. She, at a very young age, like 14, 15, left and came here because she knew she would be cared for and not mistreated being someone with a disability. So, every situation is different. And it's a roll of the dice. You can take a chance and not do it. You could do it, and you're still not going to know what's going to happen down the road because you don't know. It's a domino effect. The people
right.
that you have in your family, even, they go here and there, or you have a teenager, they're with their friends, and, you know, they're going to bars if they're in their 20s, they're coming back. You just don't know. It's a domino effect, and it does perpetuate itself, you know, and not times one or two either. So, again, you have to make your own decision based on your own family group, your own exposure, where you live, if you're working on site, if you're commuting, even more so, you know, using mass transportation. So these are things, you change some things, maybe some things you'll do by mail. Some people will say, well, I'm not going to worry about it. What it is. Your decision, just like we all have to make our own decision. And knowing that there'll be people that won't care, in terms of, like, I'm not going to ruin my life, but I'm going to do what I want to do, is even more reason for others to think about where they're going and how they're going to go there. It's too late after, you know, it's too late if you contract it. There have been some that have contracted and wanted the vaccine. Vaccines only work prior to, not during. So, again, you have to do the research. You can't expect people to lay the information before you and you just believe them. You know, research everywhere you can. Always, you know, be looking at your own individual. This is where you have to be subjective. Your own individual unit. And how is it going to affect you? Because as you say, who can you trust? And this isn't something new. And there's an article in the science section of the Times. I love it. The truth behind the news. Shortly after the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Major General Leslie R. Groves of the U.S. Army, who directed the making of the weapons, told Congress that succumbing to radiation was a very pleasant way to die. How nice. His
wow.
aide in misinforming America was William Lawrence, who was a science reporter for the Times. At the general's invitation, the writer entered a maze of secret cities. His reports on the project, when released after the bombing, helped shape post-war opinion on the bomb and atomic energy. So this has always been there. You know, the bombed areas. Oh, well, this is the way it is. It says here a black war correspondent exposed military deceptions about the atomic bomb because they have all this, you know, propaganda and they have rhetoric to make people feel less guilty about things. And It says here, the Star Reporter, there's a big dispute between the Manhattan Project, the New York Times, and the Star Reporter on what had become a bitter dispute between the victor and the vanquished. Japan insisted the bomb's invisible rays had led to waves of sudden death and lingering illness. Of course, the United States denied that charge. But history and time is what reveals these things. Sadly, we don't have an option to know all of the things going on behind the scenes. But it's nothing new.
No, it is nothing new. And that's why, again, it's like, who do you trust? Because there has been deception from reliable sources in the past, and we can't ignore that. We have a pandemic. I tend to, I'm not by myself. I have family, I have friends, I just became a grandfather. So I'd much rather play it safe with everybody.
Right.
Just in case, because it's not just my life that this will affect. It's other people's lives, people that I care about, or my community. So I'm gonna do whatever I can, to the best of what I research, to minimize the chances that not only I'll get sick, but that other people will get sick. Because now the information is that even if you have the shot, the vaccine, you could still be a carrier with the new variant. So why risk it?
And you can still get it as well. People think, I got a shot, I'm going to be fine now. No. It's a virus. And there is no killing it. It will exist for all time. It will mutate. The point is that we build up immunity to it, and hopefully, it will slow down, and less people will get it. And, of course, everything's trial and error. That's the other thing. You don't learn any other way except trial and error. And unfortunately, there are some casualties in that. But as you say, you learn from other people's trial and error. Italy, in the beginning, had huge numbers of elderly dying. And they found out it was because school was open, kids were in school, they themselves didn't exhibit any symptoms, but they were carriers. And these Italian families were very close, multi-generational, just as the Greeks, all lived together. And they found out that's how it was happening. So people had to keep distance because it wasn't a matter of whether you had it or not, but exposing other people to it. So saying you don't have any symptoms doesn't mean someone else can't get it. So that's one aspect of it. Now, what about all the rage and anger? Here we go with this yes, no, maybe so. There is so much rage and frustration and fatigue. Because everything that we've known prior is different. Your lives, the way you live, your jobs, your life experiences, money, physical and mental health, all these different things have been impacted. Something as simple as going to the store and you wonder why there's none of this or none of that, or why is wood so expensive, or why this, why that, because it's not just our little state or our community where this is happening. It's happening across the whole country for us, and it's happening globally. So if you have situations where some things being delivered that came from the south, certain vitamins, and they said, please bear with us because we have to, we're not all vaccinated, and we have to have more than 6 feet distance in assembling these things and putting things together, and we're dealing with, stringent cleaning measures. Therefore, it's not just the post office that's having the issues with employment. Farms not being able to have farmhands and doing that kind of work where they're exposed to animals and other people. And again, a lot of immigrants, illegals who use the displacement, and their health is not a priority, putting them in these really disgusting places to live. And, people are not picking up things the way they are. They're not farming the way they were farming. Everything has changed from production to shipping, even shipping things, to actually getting materials in order to make the things that they make. That's an issue. So what do you do? Do you mourn what you used to have? And do you just hold the rage in your hands and or do you, like, fling it everywhere to make yourself feel better? No, it's not going to work. Unfortunately, you know, there have always been crises, always been a crisis, here or there. There was poverty. People had farm crisis in the 80s when the federal policies favored corporations and they devastated rural communities. Grocery stores, farms, different things that needed, you know, different products, they couldn't get them. So, you know, anger is very contagious, though, because it jumps from one to the other. And if you allow it, it will not only, you know, eat away at you, but it affects other people.
Right.
And you've seen that, you know, you see more violence, whether it's verbal, physical, and the frustration because people can't get the help that they would like to get or they've never had to struggle. Life has been very easy for them, and now all of a sudden you have to deal with struggling. Not an easy thing. And you see that right now with all of these different places saying, well, you know, we can't get workers. You can't get workers. Amazon gets workers and they treat them like crap. So they may get the workers, but the people are to the point where their mental and physical health are failing.
Right.
I read stories by people working in the industry, the restaurant industry, and said that there are not enough people that can come. The pay is still not that great. You have to rely on tips, but the thing that is really the struggle, and which people are totally unaware of, is that they're working insane hours, double shifts, just like the hospitals are doing in these different areas, doing not just a waitress job, but multitasking. And we're talking putting in double shifts, being on their feet for how many hours, getting pulled from waiting on a table to busing, cleaning the tables, to going in and being the dishwasher because they need dishes. So it's frightening, the stress in that industry right now. And so, I mean, I feel for owners, the roles that have made it, but I also feel, I see the point of some of these workers who can't do it anymore. And then we have the concern about moms. A lot of these lower-paying jobs were either done by moms, you know, women that would just do part-time work, or illegal immigrants. Well, you don't have them anymore. Do you as many as you used to and be so petrified at one point in this country of being turned in? And all these jobs, like cleaning jobs, jobs in restaurants, whether they were chefs or doing things like cleaning and washing dishes, behind the scenes, you don't have them anymore. And they said there's concerns over child care because they don't have people to bring them to anymore, whether it be a private house or child care centers. You know, they just don't have the people. And many people are very worried about their children. Those under 12 cannot be vaccinated yet. So, you know, there's a lot of different issues here. And companies have been struggling to hire and retain workers. But when I hear, you know, someone say, you know, in certain states, like, oh, the unemployment's too high. Well, first, it took forever to get the unemployment. My son was unemployed for I don't know how many months or maybe close to a year because the business had to shut down. Applied for unemployment, couldn't even get on the site, and it's not even in this state.
Uh-huh.
And because it was a massive, not firing, but laying off of people, and they weren't equipped to deal with it. None of these agencies were equipped, particularly during the previous administration where a lot of these agencies were considered a waste of money. And therefore, they cut their staff to ribbons, IRS, DMV, you know, passports, all of these different agencies were cut to ribbons. Even our agencies that were not only within this country, but in other nations tied to the, you know, WHO, but our own doctors and scientists that would be in these countries to head off any little problems that they surmise could result in an epidemic or a pandemic. We never had an extent like this because we always had those organizations in place. So these are things to think about. And with the bad comes the good, in the sense that people are becoming more aware that it's important to value every worker, not just someone that makes 100K. But every human being has something to offer. Rather to look down on these people, be glad they're first of all, have a job and want a job and want to perform a duty that most people don't want to do and one that keeps things going for the rest of us.
Very, very
That's
true.
That's one factor. And then another factor is, and you and I have mentioned this years ago, American companies have had an oops moment. There's a backlog in the global supply chain. Shipping issues are unbelievable. Freight costs skyrocketing. So now 52% of the United States manufacturers have started buying more supplies in the United States. And 41% want to cut their dependence on China. How about that?
Wow.
What a shock. Bring the jobs back here. No kidding. Enough with the profits and cheap pay, cheap labor in these countries. How many people bought computers from a certain company who's not doing all that well anymore because they were hiring computer techies from India. So when you had a problem, you called up, you got to someone that couldn't even speak English in India, you know. So, no. You know, you want people to go to school, be educated, to get a job. It was the American dream. And then there came a point when businesses stepped in and were allowed to start outsourcing and shipping their businesses overseas for labor. And now they're saying that there's a downside to it. There's a downside. So... yeah, you've piled up profits because you moved manufacturing to China and other low-wage countries, and then you exported the products back to the United States.
Right.
And then you had the inventory kept to a minimum, just so when you needed it, you have it. But you can't do that. It is risky. It is risky business. It is just like Texas saying, we don't want to be with the federal grid. We want to make money and pay virtually nothing for our electricity. We're just going to take care of Texas. And meantime, you have a variable rate. It's real low, but if people forget, a variable rate can go skyrocket up, just like with a mortgage. So what happened to them when they had their issues, people getting $15,000 bill and being angry about it.
Lots of things.
That's where the information and research comes in, right, Hercules?
Yes, it's always best to look into things because I'll give an example. I've given this example a lot lately. There was a time with the austerities in Greece, and basically there was a lot of footage being shown of Greeks protesting. And it was said that they don't want to go along with the austerities, and the implication was that they were lazy and they were welchers and all this. And that was
right.
The story consistently that was showing on our news with all this footage. But I speak Greek, I understand Greek, and I can read Greek. So that's not what was going on. They took footage, but they weren't telling you that these people weren't saying we're lazy, we don't want to pay. They were complaining about the governmental and institutional, like banking forces that put this sort of austerity on them while they profited, you know, from this whole thing and passed it on to the people. And that's what they were saying.
Right.
And that was set on their signs. And that's so again, it was a very important lesson again, is that you these are stories and you don't know how true the stories are. And
exactly.
So you always have sides, and both sides get indignant and outraged.
Yes. And usually the truth is somewhere in the middle, or it will not come out until way later when enough of the purpose that they hope to achieve has resulted. And now we see, you know, moving from like the economy and all that, we see the fact that they're, and climate change is moving faster than we thought it was.
Yes.
And the United Nations had this major study, and these are people all around the world saying, well, humans have heated the planet by roughly 1.1 degrees Celsius or 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the 19th century. But that's only the beginning, because they're saying it's going up rapidly. Right. And the water, the temperature of the water is affected. Therefore, the fish kill now, and we see what's happened all over the world in terms of the fire, the floods, the devastation. Previously, I mentioned something about the, you know, the our West Coast, with the fires being so horrifying. It's actually going from there all the way up to Western Canada, and they are having the ranch land, the fields where they had the cattle, they've been stunted. Parts, or they've had infestation of grasshoppers, because as we know, you know, it's a chain. One thing affects something else, so the rural municipalities in Manitoba and Alberta, Canada, have declared an agricultural emergency. Farmers don't know what to do. They're selling some or all of their livestock. The drought could spell the end of those for the raising cattle as an income, a way of life. And they said, we just don't know what to do. And they are among the top 10 beef exporters. So, wow. And they said the dry seasons began around 2018 and have broken records every year. Now, that's there. And to say that, again, the people all know that's not true, and every year the temperature goes up. So now they have the fact that the hotter the planet gets, the greater the risk of crossing the tipping point. Irreversible collapse of the immense ice sheets in Greenland and West Antarctica, and you can't come back from that.
No.
Emission cuts. I mean, we're talking, you know, emission cuts, these different corporations that have been fined but never paid the fines, which is another thing. The EPA, even here, like these toxic sites. Was it a month ago when a bunch of needles all floated up on a beach? And it came from an area that had, you know, it was a matter of storing and dumping medical waste. So you're like, wow. I mean, you can't just look the other way and say it's going to get better, or I don't have to worry about it. You do have to worry about it. But at the same token, there is a plan to tax the biggest polluters, and this tax could reap $500 billion. We're talking Exxon, Chevron, and a couple other major oil and gas companies who are the biggest climate polluters. They said they should be paying for the floods, the wildfires, and other disasters. So they are drafting legislation, and they're going to involve the Treasury Department and the Environmental Protection to identify the country, or the companies that have released the most greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, and assess a fee. Well, let's see if they're going to pay for it, and if they're going to clean up the messes that they make. I mean, wasn't there a major cleanup in Jersey? I mean, funds were finally released, and what did Christie do with it? Did it go to cleaning the environment or the areas that were, made volatile? No. Used it and put it towards plugging up a hole in the budget. So they definitely have to find ways to make sure once these laws are gone through, you know, Congress, that they're actually, you know, being held up. And not just in one or two states. I mean, we know that China is the worst offender with pollution, but it doesn't mean that we have to sit by and use that excuse. I've heard people say, China's worse than us. Well, that's not the answer. You know, no. Everybody bands together and says to them, well, yeah, you want to become the richest and the best and this and that. That's fine, but it isn't fine with us because it's not just affecting you. It's affecting everyone. And it was interesting that the big flood in Germany and Bulgaria, they said there were many bad decisions over the decades that turned that valley into a death trap. And one of the politicians said, and I love it, it's the sum of all of our mistakes that caused this catastrophic situation. The sum of all of our mistakes, because it's not just one mistake. And they were saying that there's an area in Germany where they had a beautiful racing ring. It was built in 1925. At the expense of a water retention reservoir, which was planned after a flood in 1910. But then it got derailed because World War I came along. Okay, so politicians had to make a trade-off. Do you build a reservoir as a flood protection measure, or do you build a racing ring, which put 2,500 unemployed locals to work?
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of times, and I think we see that with everything, a lot of times, you know, it's like for the moment. For the moment, I don't have to worry about this because this is going to work for me now. You know,
right.
I don't have to worry about this. Well, you don't know. You know, you don't know what when it is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Is it going to happen in your lifetime? How many generations will it affect? Will it affect your family? And then how about the fact that it may go beyond that and affect the whole environment forever? So...
And again,
the kind of things we have to think about.
We live in the now, and I could see, I can understand people making decisions in the now, but we have children and we have grandchildren.
Of course.
we want a wonderful world for them, too. I've seen how much the world changed during my short lifetime, you know, in terms of wilderness, and it's very alarming.
It is. It is. There are advances being done. There are people that rather than wring their hands and say, you know, oh, my God, look at this. How did this happen? How did the politicians allow this? Well, corporations are involved, not just the politicians. It's the way politicians are funded that has to be changed in this country, so they are not. They don't have to answer for favors from corporations, from banking, all these other groups. And then it goes back and forth because, as we saw in the last administration, that wonderful tax reform that everybody said was so wonderful and one particular party, oh, yeah, because all the breaks they're getting, they're going to add jobs. And did they? No. There was a study afterwards. They found out minimal jobs were added. And if they were, they were low-paying, and money went towards bonuses to people on the top. Because if there is no accountability, and rather than give them the breaks, you know, give them a little bit at a time, put the carrot on the stick and say, well, if you do this, then maybe you'll get more. Or consequence. You know, if you don't do that, this money is tied to the fact that you must hire this many, you know, these type of jobs and this percentage of people. But that doesn't happen because there isn't any follow-up. So, you know, that's a big thing, the follow-up. But there's something here where with the Pacific Northwest in June, they could not handle all these people in terms of saving them. In Seattle and Renton, Washington, so much fatal heat stroke. They said even with ice packs and cooling catheters, they couldn't do anything to take care of the people. And unbelievable, they decided to start getting heat stroke patients, zipping them into ice-filled body bags. And it worked so well that is now a go-to treatment. You might think it'd be very macabre way of using them, but it is a convenient, economical and efficient way to treat patients in mass casualty emergencies. And even when you think about these poor men that are fighting all these fires. My God, their lungs, you know, their skin, the exposure, how many hours they're working with no relief. So, let's face it, the core body temperature rises to 104 Fahrenheit or higher, it damages the brain and organs. So heat stroke is a big thing, particularly for children and older people, because their bodies don't regulate temperature well. This was ingenious, so simple. Ice packs and tons of ice in body bags and just putting them and zipping them in so the body would cool down.
And on that note, our conversation is approaching an end. I want to thank you for all the information. I want to thank you for sharing all the resources that are available to anybody who cares to look to try to find them, and also for reminding us that that we don't really know what's going on a lot of times, and we can only make the best decisions that we possibly can, and for also reminding us that that again, even if you're a very positive person, you have to look at the fact that there are things in our world that need to be addressed. And though we might not have solutions or even understand the situation clearly in here and now, we really need to take actions, because not taking actions leads to extreme disasters later on. So,
right. You know, and our planet needs our cooperation and respect, because you can only abuse it for so long. And again, as you and I always say, you know, be informed rather than sit there and act emotionally. Get over it. You want to be angry, whatever, get over the emotion and start to do research and be logical and look at your own situation. Nobody can do it better than you can, you know, because you know your own individual situation.
Very well said, and something to definitely ponder and talk about some more. We only have a minute or so, but I wanted to ask you, I'll ask you publicly, would you like a second show to deal with metaphysical topics?
Oh, sure. We can work on that.
Okay. So we'll have that conversation. Lately we've been getting lots of books to review and wonderful authors to explain the books.
And I have to thank you for that opportunity, because every single person I have interviewed, or in the books I've read and the different people I have interviewed, I only have the deepest admiration, because it's amazing the positive energy and what people have, how they have bounced back, you know, from things, and it's just, wow. There's horrible situations out there, but there are some amazing people who have made things work for them and looked for solutions. And on that note, I would like to say that next month I will have an interview with the first person that I ever interviewed with you, who is King James,
awesome.
Who is the owner of the Sacagawea camp in Sparta, who does the Night Realms LARPing, but he's bringing back the Sparta Ren Fair for 2 weekends of September, and we are going to ask him how he's dealt with the pandemic and the things that he plans to have within that Renaissance Fair, because he has not been resting on his laurels. He has been a very busy man.
I'm looking forward to catching up with him, and I don't doubt it. He seemed like an amazing individual from what little exposure I had to him, so I'm not surprised that he's done amazing things since the interview. Astrid, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I look forward to our next conversation. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in, whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and we'll close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.
She stood with the stars.